Des Clark in studio, the former Bear father, son, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, philanthropist, author, and just what I saw you post on LinkedIn this week. And Des, you do insurance. You're a businessman. You're all over the place, and I love it. You put the F post out there. How you were coming into the NFL, and people didn't think that Des Clark was going to do anything. You had a grade, I believe, of 37, the old 37, and you want to be what in the 80s? Is that right?
I have no clue.
But you were
you don't want to be a 37.
You were far from it, and yet you somehow went on to be the second all time leading receiver at the tight end position in the history of the Chicago Bears after starting your career with the Denver Broncos. I'm curious, like, where was the mindset that you were able to have confidence in yourself? And I know you're trying to bring that to people mm-hmm. nowadays.
Well, actually, I didn't have confidence in myself when I first went to the NFL. And I didn't know that I graded as a 37. Actually, it was because of this young lady right here, my lady, my stepson. They were all at the table saying how tall they were. And everybody was giving themselves another inch and a half. And I said, I can prove my height. And I went to my combine stats. And this is my first time ever going to look at this. And when I got there, I see this big, fat, red F. And it just stopped me in my tracks. It's like, are you serious? I scored an F in the combine. And I scored a 37. But that had nothing to do with my confidence. When I got to Denver, two-time Super Bowl champion, I'm playing behind a future Hall of Famer and two Pro Bowl tight ends who they eventually made the Pro Bowls.
That's a great start. And you
did you get a detailed explanation of why you got an F?
No, I just figured this out like a couple weeks ago. So this is brand new. Like literally, they were sitting at the table saying that they were like 5'5" and 6 feet, and I was like, none of y'all are telling the truth. And I looked it up, man.
Wow. You were playing behind Shannon Sharpe, who, by the way, I saw at the Super Bowl, and I had a brawl about Michael and LeBron over, and I don't know why Shannon Sharpe doesn't realize that Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time, but he doesn't, and people make these errors in life, and I can't help them, and that's just the way it is. But that's a super confident guy. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
but you know why he's super confident?
Go ahead.
It's because he worked harder than anyone else. That's why.
So that's a preparing to fail, or not preparing to fail is failing to prepare, whatever I just tried to say there. But bottom line is, you know that you have all your ducks in a row, and so you can be confident.
When you put in that type of work like he put in, when I got there and I see him work out and I see him practice, when you put in that type of work, when it's time to go out and perform, you're confident. And you start to believe that about yourself. And then once you start to believe it, all your actions just follow. And that's him. I mean, he'll probably tell you at some point in time he wasn't that confident. But over the course of putting in the work, of course. If I know I'm out working everybody, I'm going to be confident also.
I'm just thinking about who you come into the Bears. You've got Marty Booker. You've got David Terrell. There was a confident guy who I'm assuming put – no? I see a look on the face here. Talk to me about David Terrell.
David was confident, and David worked too, but he just wasn't as good as a Hall of Famer. Having that confidence.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at that roster that you're coming into here. You had Olin Krutz.
Yes,
there was
a really confident guy.
That's a worker right there.
Yes,
and then I guess. You came in, it was Orton. You had Orton and not Rex, correct?
No, 03.
03 was Cordell Stewart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was it like playing with him?
So that's always a tribute question that I ask people. Who was the starting quarterback in 2003? And nobody can answer the question. But it was good. Cordell was a good dude. He only played here for a year. He wasn't the answer. They drafted Rex that year, obviously. So Rex was our starting quarterback the next year. Got hurt. And that was the start of the quarterback carousel for me.
It has been the quarterback carousel is something that's existed in Chicago basically forever.
Right,
it's so hard to find a franchise quarterback. Although some teams seem to make it easier than others, like the Bears. But when you, from your vantage, seeing how much pressure is put on that position, and you having teammates and being alongside them in the locker room and practicing with them every day. From your vantage, what did you see in the role of a quarterback, the ins and outs, the pressure from fans, the pressure from media? How difficult is it to actually succeed in the NFL at the quarterback position?
Well, it's difficult at any position. And I played quarterback in high school, and I'm not comparing that to the NFL, but all eyes are on you. You're the leader. If things go wrong, you're going to get all of the blame. If things go right, you're going to get all of the glory. And especially being here in Chicago, a crazy sports town, I mean, the scrutiny is it can make or break you. And you have to be really thick-skinned to play quarterback here in Chicago, because if you're not and you don't come out and do the right things right away, you're damaged for the rest of your life, literally.
Who were you close with on the team?
A few guys. I know on the offensive side of the ball, I'll just start there. Jason McKee, Musa Muhammad, St. Clair, who used to be an offensive tackle here with us. You know, the Thomas Jones, Olin Krutz.
Now there's a guy, Thomas Jones, that was not getting cheated.
Yeah, that's another dude who deserved to be confident. Because the work that he put in was unbelievable.
I mean, he was
still never understood why they traded him away.
Well, it was stupid. It was dumb.
Very dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got two stud running backs, and they chose one, and they chose Cedric.
It should make sense because you went to a Super Bowl with both of them,
right?
And they moved on from them.
But when you start having a little conflict within the ranks, yeah, and then you're forced to choose one. They chose Cedric.
You can go on about the conflict that you're referring to. What exactly happened? What do you mean?
Well, those two dudes approached the game in different ways. Neither one of them wrong. But you know, they had a few heated moments. One time they came to a couple swings that was thrown, and you know, from that point, you know, as an organization, you look at that and you say, okay, what do we do about this? And then you have a guy that you drafted number 4 overall.
Right.
Of course, you're going to go with that guy.
So was this in practice or what?
Yeah, it was in practice.
Heated?
Yeah.
How often do fights break out? Because you hear about it every year or in camp. Guys are together. It's big personalities. Did you see that often in the NFL? Little scuffles here and there or serious fights?
You see it more in training camp than anywhere. Once you get to the season, you really don't see it much. Every now and again, tempers flare. You know, somebody think that somebody did something dirty, or you know, you just rolled out of the bed the wrong way that morning, and you just want to take it out on somebody.
Well, it's a crazy world that you live in, right?
Yeah.
When you're playing NFL football, y'all are making big dough, but your livelihood's on the line seemingly every week.
Mm-hmm.
You get paid to have a car crash, and you can be a nice
or a few.
Oh, right. You can be a nice guy, but then you got to turn it up and get yourself mentally prepared to do it. And whenever, you know, we've talked on the radio a ton now, when you're a calm, collected, easygoing Dez, but there's something that you're able to dial into come game day where you're able to, you know, do what you have to do to be successful.
It's the competition of it. Here's the one thing that I went into every game thinking. Whoever I'm going up against that day, at the end of the day, I don't want them in there. Nah, that just wasn't going to happen. And that's what I thought going into the game. The one-on-one matchups that I had to have the most of at the end of the game, I wanted for me and my family to say, hey, you had a good game against whoever, not the other way around.
What was the hardest part for you transitioning from playing into now in the business world and having the same level of, if it's even possible, excitement to go out there and make a living in a different way that's just not as fun or exciting or as glamorous as playing professional football?
The most difficult part of that transition was just trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? I never identified myself as just a football player. And that kind of irritated me sometimes when people would come up to you and talk to you and only ask you about football things. As my daughter would say, I'm a whole person here. And that's the reason why I named my first book Before and Beyond the Game, because I didn't want to talk about the game. I wanted to talk about the person who was Desmond Clark. But I actually had to sit down for a couple weeks and figure it out. Not knowing what I wanted to do or what I was going to do, the first thing I figured out is, all right, what am I going to be about? And I came up with my purpose statement, which I still live by today. And that purpose statement, in the first three words, I adopted from the coach you probably wouldn't think I adopted this from, Mike Martz.
Okay.
Because, you know, he didn't play me. I didn't really care for him too much as a coach, but as a man, he had some really good he was a really good man.
That's interesting.
But excellence, with excellence being the standard.
Okay.
That's the first three words, with excellence being the standard. My purpose is to enhance the lives of others through any expertise or resources that I have available to me, with respect to my family, at every opportunity, transforming strangers and associates alike into extended family members. Now, I could break all of that down, but that's what I live by now. And, Mark, we've been around each other long enough, and I think if I ask you the question, do you see me doing that on a daily basis? Hopefully, the answer would be yes.
Well, that's why, and I'm laying in bed this week, and I wake up, the first thing I'm doing is checking all the social media, and I get on my LinkedIn, and there you are talking about the F, and I was inspired, like, okay, Karen, let's get out of bed here. Let's not get an F today. Let's get after it, and let's move things forward and try to, as they say, you know,
win the day.
Yes. Right. And what break down everything you're doing right now for people who maybe would be just interested in talking to a former Bear / mm-hmm. now businessman who is out there trying to help people.
So first and foremost, on the business side, I'm co-owner, vice president of the Insurance People, full insurance agency, health, life. I run the property and casualty, the home, auto, and commercial division of that company. Secondly, I'm an author, got my second book coming out, writing it right now, Principles of Winning. And then I also do a lot of speaking engagements as a motivational, inspirational speaker, really focusing on leadership, those principles of winning that I'm writing about, and really pursuing excellence. So those are the two things that really keep me busy, besides trying to aggravate my daughter every now and again and make sure that I'm being a good father.
I love it.
I love it, Des.
I just saw Martellus down in the Super Bowl, and he's, you know, most recently transferring out of the game, tight end, made his way around the league a little bit.
He's an interesting dude, too.
He is.
He got a lot of stuff that's in front of him.
He told me that he went to Japan on a two-week sabbatical to try to find himself after he left the Packers. And, you know, he has the steps on the what do people wear to count the thing? Count your workout, Kevin Powell. Don't you know what this is? No. Whatever. One of those things that counts how far you've gone.
Oh, so pedometer thing?
Sure, whatever. Yeah. So he walked 37,000 steps on one day on a
Fitbit.
Japan.
Fitbit.
Fitbit. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, you had the Fitbit on. He did 37,000 steps, and he was... It basically talked about how, like, normally in a Green Bay Packer practice, he was so angry one day because they did 30,000 steps in one practice. Like, a normal practice is 15,000 steps. They made me do 30,000. I thought it was so wrong. He basically wanted to fight the whole team. But then he walked 37,000 steps.
Hold on. Who even counts the steps in practice?
Martellus Bennett. Martellus Bennett, 83, was counting the steps, and he was angry about it. And whenever I would see him, by the way, covering, he did not enjoy at least the practicing part of football.
Right.
He moping around that locker room, you could tell, like, this is, you might like Sundays, but you definitely don't like Wednesday right now, and you for sure want to go home.
Especially when you count the steps.
Right. But I don't know what point I'm making here, other than the fact that, like, he had to expand his mind into what the journey was going to be for him. And, you know, he's got a book out there.
But you know, with him, you've seen it when he was here. He was more than a football player.
He was.
Yeah. Actually, it was a Ray Austin who actually played here in Green Bay. He's from Chicago. He put a post out this morning and on LinkedIn, and my comment was more than an athlete, because it's a lot of athletes out here that we got a lot of stuff going on in these brains, and not bad stuff, good stuff, like good thoughts, good ideas, and there's a lot of good athletes out here that's doing some good things.
And you're one of them, man. Thanks for taking time, as always, coming in, Des. Des Clark, former Chicago Bear, 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. KPNI coming on back at 720 WGN.